And I was thinking about the kids starting again, all the kids' programs. Of course, Children's Church just keeps going right through. Our Children's Church workers are phenomenal people. They really are. They just, you know, we were talking about the other day, we had our department leaders meeting. And one of the things we do at our department leaders is do a roundup of what's happening in various parts of the church. And as we were talking about it, I just was observing with the department leaders that the children's ministry in our church is by far the most effective outreach ministry in our church. It's phenomenal. The connections that they make with non-church families all the time, showing love and grace, is just absolutely amazing. And I just think we should, I don't know, they're upstairs doing the work. Why don't you hug a kids worker day or something? They just do a phenomenal work. Yeah, Joanne's right there. Everybody around there, just pat Joanne on the back just for a moment. And I want to encourage you, if you want to, we talk about, missions trips and all that, which we all do and we love and it's great. But can I encourage you that we have a mission field right here with us. And we have an open door, an amazing open door of ministry into families who otherwise have no connection with God. It's wonderful. We see all these kids come and they sit down around the front here. One kid just about got himself trapped behind the speaker there this morning. I don't know if the guy sitting there was seeing that. I was thinking, we're going to lose the whole sound system in a minute. And it's phenomenal because these kids have got absolutely no idea about God, no idea about church life. Many of them have very little idea about family life, to be honest with you. And they come into an environment of love and acceptance where God is praised. And it's just phenomenal. So I want to encourage you. God will be speaking to you about this area because it's an area of need in our church. And I don't care what age you are. Don't think this is a young person's thing. Whatever age you are, whatever's going on, if God is speaking to you, if God is stirring in your heart, don't brush it aside. Open your heart to the possibility of joining with our kids team. See Kia. She'd love to point you in the right direction. Kia Thomas is upstairs probably. So come and see me if you don't know who Kia is, and I'll point her out to you. And have a talk with her. I'm just sure, as we were sharing about it yesterday in our leaders' meeting, I just had a sense that God would be speaking to two or three people, that he's probably been doing that for a few weeks, just stirring something in the heart. And if that's you, then don't brush it aside. Come and see us. We'd love to link you up with what they're doing. They really are doing a fantastic, I just can't get over it. They're just doing a wonderful, wonderful job. Do you know that our bus is on the TV now, don't you? Has anyone else seen our bus on the TV? There's a few. There's an ad for Illawarra Children's Services, which is now called Big Fat Smile. I'm just not saying anything about that, but that's their current name. And if you ever see the ad, there's a bus in the ad with these really leery seat covers. And as soon as I saw the seat covers, I thought, someone else has got a bus just like ours, Heather. Heather Rolls, who made those. And I thought, someone else has got the same seat covers as we have. And then I thought, that's our bus. So if you have a look for that on the TV, that's our bus. And what we do is we rent that out to the children's services during the week, and they use it for their before and after school programs, which is great. Pays for the bus and is a blessing to the community at the same time. That's a good deal, isn't it? Fantastic. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your presence here with us today. We thank you that you want to speak into our hearts, that you want to bring release and freedom to us. And Lord, we want to open our hearts to that today. We don't want to be closed off or tight, but we want to be open and free and ready to receive. We want that your Holy Spirit would speak to us and loose us and release us from stuff that's been holding us down and holding us back. So we're opening our hearts today and asking that you would come and do a work of grace in our hearts and lives in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So today we're continuing freedom through Christ, or freedom in Christ. And what does that mean to us? Galatians 5 verse 1 is our catchphrase, if you like. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Do not let yourself. I'm really taken by how Paul says that. He says, don't let yourself get hooked into something that's going to bind you up. And there's a whole range of things in life. We're picking on about five or so of those things, but there's heaps of things that you can allow to bind you up in life. There's lots of emotional stuff, lots of experiences of life, all kinds of things that can bind you up in life. It's good to see the mother follow the baby. I don't know why the baby was with someone else over there, but it's all good. And whatever is binding you up, whatever is holding you down, whatever is stressing you out, Paul says, don't let yourself be bound by that. Don't let yourself be bound by that. The key here is that we are the ones often who allow ourselves to get bound up with something. And today's subject matter, I think, is possibly one of the worst that people allow themselves to get bound up with. Today, I want to talk to you about the effects of rejection. Rejection. It's small wave time here. You know, small wave. Big wave is when you want to say, oh, yeah, that was me. That was great. Small wave is when you just want to admit to something, but you don't want anybody else to know about it, okay? So it's small wave time today. How many people here have ever been rejected? Just small wave. Oh, Helen, that's not a small wave. That's a big wave. I know that you're an open and, you know, all that sort of relational. But I said a small wave. Everybody's been rejected. Is there anybody? No, I won't ask that one because the proud people put their hands up. But everybody's been rejected at some point in time in their life. Everyone. When I used to do labor market programs and I did programs with long-term unemployed, one of the most incredibly difficult things for people with that experience to do is to actually engage again with the employment market because they've been rejected so many times. How do you get your head up again to get smacked again? I mean, it's just so hard. And I had great empathy with people who had that experience, that they might have been trying to get work for 6 months or 12 months. And in the end, and everyone says, oh, they're a dull bludger, they've given up. And they don't understand that this person is now in a crisis. This person is now at a point where they go, I just can't do that anymore. I just can't put myself forward and get knocked down again. How would you feel if every day of the week you were putting yourself forward and everyone was saying to you every day, you're not good enough? How would you feel after a week or a month or 3 months or 6 months of that? Is it any wonder that those people are in a place at some point where they go, I just can't do that anymore? That's perfectly understandable. Everybody feels and senses rejection, and that rejection has many effects in our lives. In fact, rejection is a grief experience, isn't it? Rejection implies loss, and that means it's a grief experience. So all the stuff that's related to grief is going to happen when we have rejection. So there's going to be remorse, there's going to be bitterness, there's going to be anger. All of those things that we associate with grief are going to be part of the rejection experience. The question really is, are we going to let that bind us up for the rest of our lives, or are we going to find the freedom that we have in God not to let that hold me down? If I have been rejected in the past, will I allow that to dictate to me, or will I say I'm going to rise above that and get on with what God's got for me? Amen? Rejection, very powerful force in our lives. People might feel rejection from their parents. They might feel rejection from a loved one. They might feel rejection because of their faith. I was writing the blog this week. And most of you know, I hope, that we have a City Life website, citylife.org. Go and find the website. Every week, the messages go up as a blog. And it's just a few, couple of paragraphs. And it summarizes the message. In fact, if you're really quick on a Friday or a Saturday, you could get a bit of a preview because it'll be up there and it'll just do that. And I was thinking about how Jesus was rejected and the apostles and the church were rejected because of their faith. And we should not expect to be free of that. But I thought, I think most of our rejection comes from non-faith related issues. I think it's mainly emotional and relational, those areas. But nonetheless, it has the same effect. And as I was thinking about that, I was thinking about the fact that Jesus is completely in tune with what rejection is all about. Jesus is absolutely in touch with what rejection is all about. The prophet Isaiah, in Isaiah 53 and verse 3, speaks about the coming Messiah. We're going to be talking tonight about the Bible. And yes, the senior minister of the church is preaching at Explosion. So I know that everyone's just going to come to church because of that, fully aware. But one of the things that amazes me about the scriptures is that we have these hundreds of year gaps between what God has revealed to one of his great leaders and when it actually happens. It's one of the most amazing things about the Bible. Anyway, come tonight, you'll hear a bit of that. Not much, actually. We're going to move on to some other stuff. But I'm amazed by how much God does and reveals in his word. But Isaiah the prophet, knowing what was going to happen to the Messiah, he said he was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering. I just want to stop there for a moment, and I want us to understand that Jesus suffered. Some people have this sort of weird idea that somehow Jesus just sort of rode above everything, and he did in many ways. He was really quite amazing. But I want you to understand today that Jesus suffered terribly. He suffered terribly, and he understood what it meant to be rejected. If you think about it a moment, he came for the people of Israel first and for the whole world, and guess what? They rejected him out of hand. He built relationship with some men who were meant to follow him and then to lead the church, and what did they do? They rejected him. They turned away from him. We need to understand that Jesus was rejected out of hand by most people in his life. And at the point of his death, there were only a handful of people who actually stood with him. And everybody else rejected him. Even on the cross, as he took your sin and my sin, our punishment, our separation from God, for the first time in his existence, Jesus experienced separation from the Father and the rejection that came with that. He is completely aware of the power of rejection and its effects in our lives. He goes on to say, Isaiah 53 verse 3, he says, like one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised and we esteemed him not. He was rejected, he was despised, and nobody thought good of him. If you've been in that place where you've thought bad of yourself, or you think that everybody else thinks you're hopeless and horrible, then understand one thing, Jesus has been exactly where you are. He has experienced exactly what you've experienced. Sometimes we might look at Jesus and go, well, did he really? You know, the scripture says that he was tempted in the same way as we are. And sometimes we look at him and we go, was he really tempted in the same way as we are? Well, in this area of rejection, we can understand he knew exactly what it was about. He knew exactly what was going on in this area of our lives. Now, what I realize in that is that God's people are, I wanted to say always, but not probably always, but they are often rejected. God's people are often rejected for their faith, but also for other things. But if you look through the history, God's people were rejected for all sorts of reasons. The church was rejected. The apostles were rejected. People suffered that rejection mainly because of their faith, but sometimes just because people didn't like them. But the church has suffered rejection throughout its history, and we have all suffered that same thing. The question I have today is, how are we going to deal with that? How are we going to respond to that? That rejection will have many effects in your life. It will be building certain resentments and bitternesses. It will be building barriers in your life. The question is, how are we actually going to deal with that? What are we going to do about this thing called rejection in our lives? It's very closely allied with a performance orientation, a success orientation, which means I have to perform in order to please people in order to be accepted. Very closely allied to that thing. And I want to say to us today, let's break out of that. Yeah. Let's open our hearts and let God begin to make a difference. Yeah. Yeah. Some people here today are completely bound up with rejection. Some people are sitting going, what are we talking about this for? Why is this so important? The reason it's so important is because there's some people here today who are completely bound by rejection. You've been rejected by your father or your mother, by a loved one, and you felt that rejection so strongly that it has completely bound you up. And God wants to say to you today, through the Apostle Paul, don't allow yourself to be bound up by that rejection. Don't allow it. Don't allow it. It's time to stop. It's time to make a move and make a change. It's really time. I sense the Holy Spirit so strongly on this morning. It's time to make a change. It's time to break out of that. Don't allow that rejection to dictate your life. It doesn't have to. The people of God are so familiar with us. Jesus is so familiar with us. He knows this inside and out. He died for you to break the power of that in your life. And I want us today to learn from him how to deal with rejection in our lives. how to deal with it in our lives. How can you rise above that? How could Jesus rise above that? He was the most rejected man. You think you've been rejected? I don't see anybody here that's been crucified. He was the most rejected man on the planet. They whipped him and they crucified him. They so hated him that they wanted him dead. Now, I've had some experience of people who hate me. I know that's a great surprise to you, but I've had some experience of that. You know, the funny thing about that is I've been hated by more church people than by non-church people. I find that intriguing. Usually because they're not getting what they want. They're being opposed in something, and they feel what? They feel rejected. And so they hate because they feel rejected. I've had people speak, you know, Christians say, come to me and say, you're evil, you're bad, you're filthy, get out of here, that sort of stuff. Mainly dealing with other churches and, you know, issues and difficulties that they've got, not my problems, their problems, because they don't get what they want. They feel rejected, and so they hate, and they build bitterness in their life. How did Jesus rise above that? How did he face rejection by nearly everybody that he knew and yet rise above it? How did he do that? I hope you're thinking about it. How did Jesus do that? How did he get rejected by everybody and yet rise above it? How did that happen? Let's have a look at the scriptures. I was going to give you an example of David, but just take it. You can look at Psalm 22. Read the whole thing. It's a beauty. But understand that most of David's Psalms are dealing with rejection. Mostly, if you read the Psalms, it's all about how this person hates me and that person hates me and they don't like me and they don't want me. And that's just going on all the time. And David actually understood the same secrets that Jesus understood. He just didn't quite have it as strong as Jesus did. So have a look at the Psalms in a different way after we finish today. But I want to get to Jesus. I just want to get straight to it. There's two principles that Jesus applied in his life. He actually lived these things out that made him basically immune from the effects of rejection. Basically immune. I still think he suffered. I still think he felt it. But he basically was immune in the way he lived his life from the rejection of people. I think that there was something that he did that he had control of. So let's have a look at it together. The first of those is found in John 12 and verse 42. And John the apostle, who's writing the scripture, he gives us an insight into the religious leaders and what their problems were. And then we see a contrast with Jesus. So let's have a look. John chapter 12, verse 42. It says, "Yet at the same time, many even among the leaders believed in him, but because of the Pharisees, they would not confess their faith for fear they would be put out of the synagogue." What's that? Yeah, the synagogue. What's going on for them though? They're being rejected. Therefore, fear of rejection, they won't stand up. And then it goes on, it says this, "For they loved the praise from men more than praise from God." I hope you get this today. If you want to live free, then the first thing that you've got to really resolve is, where is your approval coming from? Where is your approval coming from? If you want to live your life with the approval of men and women, then you will suffer rejection, heartache, and bitterness all of your life. It will happen. Because, you know, ding dong, news time, not everybody's going to like you. Not everyone's going to accept what you think. Not everyone's going to believe the same. Not everyone's going to think the same. And they will reject you. Now, the truth of this is sometimes they'll be right. I think that's worth thinking about for a little minute. Maybe we'll get back to that a bit later. But, you know, every now and then, you know, you may not be right and they actually might be right, and that's worth thinking about. But if your approval is coming from people, then you'll always be vulnerable to this thing called rejection. And these religious leaders, even though they believed in Jesus, for fear of rejection, because they sought their approval from people, they missed out on following Jesus. They missed out on what God had for them in life because they were afraid of the judgment of men and women. They were afraid of what other people will think of them, and so they missed out on what God had for their life. Let's have a look at how Jesus handled this. I think the first thing about Jesus is he knew who he was. If we're thinking about approval, he knew who he was. Have a look at John 13, just a little way down that page. John 13, verse 2. It says, "The evening meal was being served, And the devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot, son of Simon, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. This is a phenomenal story on lots of levels. And you can read that and get everything out of it. But I just want us to understand one simple thing here today. It was because Jesus knew who he was that he didn't have to clamor for the approval of man. He didn't have to fight for position, because you know what's going on. He's making himself now a servant of the disciples. The same disciples who were going to run away and betray him. The same disciples who were going to reject him. He made himself their servant. What is everyone else trying to do? They're trying to climb the pecking order. They're trying to be saying, am I the best disciple? Am I going to be seated in the right hand? And, you know, we're all trying to climb the pecking order. And Jesus, because the approval of man was irrelevant to him, because he knew who he was. I am the Son of God. God, I am going back to God and all things will be restored to me. I know who I am. I know where I'm going. I know who I serve. And therefore, I will serve you. Because I know who I am. And I don't need your approval. I don't need you to pat me on the head and say, good Jesus, well done Jesus. You know, you're doing a good job. Keep going. We'll all support you. And I don't need, it's nice to get that. It's lovely to get that. Everybody likes that. Who likes approval? Come on, that's a big wave. Who likes approval? Everybody likes approval. If you like disapproval, then you've got problems. Come and see us and we'll get you some help. If you like disapproval, then you're a bit of a weirdo. Everybody likes approval. Everybody likes position and everybody wants to be respected and everybody wants to be thought well of. And Jesus said, this is irrelevant. He said, I know who I am. And therefore, he grabs a towel, and he girds himself, and he makes himself the lowest. And he's trying to teach them something. He's trying to say to them, the approval of people is not important. The approval of God is the only thing that matters. The approval of God is the only thing that matters. Why is it that so many Christians struggle so much with the approval of God? I believe it's because the devil wants to bind you up. He wants to rob you of confidence and faith. And so he makes you think that you're no good. He makes you think that God doesn't love you. God loves everybody else. You look around the church here today and you look at the people in the row in front of you, even the back of their heads. You say, the back of their head's even better looking than the front of mine. And you say, God loves them. I got two fronts, you know. But I'm going to get that tattoo. Have you seen the tattoo with the guy mowing the lawn? Just right there. I'm going to just put it right there. I've often thought about that, but you know, the only reason that's not a good idea is because as your hair keeps receding, then the guy at the mower is not in the right place. And it's very hard to get a moving tattoo. You can see I've thought way too much about this. You're looking around today and you say, God loves them better than he loves me. You know, those people that were singing on the stage, oh, God loves them better than he loves me because they've got a talent. Oh, they're singers. God loves them better than he loves me. You know what? And the singers are sitting there, standing there, and they're thinking, oh, God loves that singer better than he loves me. You know, God, they're better than I am. And God loves, and you know, that singer, that, you know, this one's saying this one's better, and this one's going, oh, gee, that drummer, well, Josh, he's a pretty good guy. So they're saying, you know, oh, Josh, God loves Josh better than he loves me. And Josh is sitting in the drum cage over here. I hope this works. He's sitting in the drum. Can you hear me out there? This is really odd. I can't hear anything. That's strange. I'm getting out of here. It's freaking me out. Josh is, that's really weird, I got to tell you. And Josh is sitting in there, and maybe he's thinking, oh, God loves the bass. Who's the bass? Brad. God loves Brad better than he loves me. You know, the sickness is everybody is thinking that God loves everybody else better than them. It's phenomenal. I know all my faults. I don't know all your faults. So I'm worse than you. God loves you. God can forgive you. God accepts you. God will do everything in your life, but he won't do it in mine because you don't know how bad I am. You don't know. Do you know what I mean? this rejection thing, this is unbelievable. This idea that God is going to reject me is just unbelievable. And Jesus was the opposite. And he knew the approval of God. And the only thing that he sought in his life was the approval of God. It's the only thing he sought. He did not seek the approval of people. He didn't want to be belligerent and nasty and horrible and put people off. Don't go down that road. Don't get arrogant and angry and horrible. But he just wasn't looking for the approval of people. He was only looking for the approval of God. Can I say again, don't let that be an excuse to be Mr. or Mrs. Nasty. You know, I can treat people like dirt because God loves me. No, don't go down that road. That's really dumb. Why would you do that? Open your heart and understand that the approval of people is not important in your life. It's not important. The approval of God is important. It's the only question. It's really, when we think about this thing today, this thing of rejection, its effects, the only thing that's actually important is where is your approval coming from? Where is your approval coming from? If your approval is coming from people, then you are vulnerable to this issue. But if your approval is truly coming from God, then you'll be largely impervious to what people think of you. We've seen this through the ages with godly men and women who've taken their stand for God and said, what others think of me is not important. What's important is what God thinks of me. That I'm obedient to the call and the purpose of God in my life. Jesus in John chapter 8, have a look at this. He just had this under control. In John chapter 8, verse 28. John chapter 8 and verse 28. I'll read from verse 27. It said, they did not understand that he was telling them about his Father. Talking about God, the Father. So Jesus said, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am the one I claim to be, and that I do nothing on my own, but speak just what the Father has taught me. The one who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do what pleases him. I always do what pleases him. Jesus had one measure for his life, one measure. Does it please God? Does it please God? I'm inviting you this morning to make that the measure of your life. Not what people think, not what your family thinks, not what your parents think, not what your kids think, not what your friends think, not what anybody else thinks. What does God think? Is he pleased? Is he pleased? That's the only question. The Apostle Paul, talking to the Galatian church, Galatians 1 verse 10, he says, am I now trying to win the approval of men or of God? Or am I trying to please men? He says, if I was still trying to please men, I would not be a servant of Christ. If I was trying to please men, I would not be a servant of Christ. Do you know how much trouble Paul got into? You do, surely. How much trouble he got into? Because he was serving God rather than pleasing men. And he got to the same place that Jesus got to, and that was, it is only important that I please God. It's only important. Don't make that an excuse for rebellion. Don't make an excuse for doing all sorts of stupid stuff. Don't get onto that trip, all right? But get it into your heart that it's only important that I please God. It's only important that I please God. We're going to pray. Thank you, Jesus. I bless you, Father God. I thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. As we are in a state of prayer, you know, the truth is that we have the acceptance of God. I want you to pray for a moment, and I'm going to, we don't need any of that yet. I'm going to, while you're praying, just keep an attitude of prayer. I want to read something for you. Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 3. Just get into that place with God right now. I just want you to hear this from God. Ephesians 1 verse 3, it says, praise be to the God and Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. God is speaking to you. He's saying to you, I have chosen you. Oh, focus, not the person next to you, not the person in front of you, them too, but right now, focus. God is saying, I have chosen you before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in my sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loved. God is saying to you this morning that he has chosen you. You can't be perfect and you never will be. He has chosen you and he has sent his son to die for you so that you can be blameless before him. You have God's approval. You have it. It's yours right now. It's yours to take up and to live in right now. The question we're looking at the moment is, are you looking for his approval in life, or are you vulnerable to what everyone else thinks? Father, I pray today for those who are really bound up in seeking the approval of people around them, that, Lord, you would free us up, that you would help us to seek you alone, to be like Jesus, be only concerned with your approval in our hearts, in our lives, that our lives would please you and honor you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. While everyone's praying and no one's looking around, if you know in your own heart that this is something you've struggled with, I want you to raise your hands to God. Forget everyone around you. That's part of the deal. Raise your hands to God. He is the only one you want approval from. You raise your hands to God. Just get your hands up. Get your hands up before God. Because we're saying there's heaps of us going to do this. Don't look around. Just you and God. Just get your hands up before God and say, open your heart. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we're just looking for your approval. We know that we have it. We ask, Lord, forgive us for when we let it go. Help us not to become arrogant or prideful. But Lord, we know that you approve of us and we want to live that way, only seeking your approval and your pleasure. Help us, Lord, we pray, in Jesus' name. Just put your hands down for a moment. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You can just look at me for a moment. There's a second part to this that Jesus understood, and I can give it to you in about 2 or 3 minutes, which is what I'm going to do. There's a second part to this. Your approval comes from God, but rejection will come from people. And you have to learn to deal with that rejection in order to keep your freedom. And the way, you know where I'm going with this. The way Jesus did that was through what? Forgiveness. Forgiveness. And there he was on the cross, suffering the rejection of every person on the planet, and even suffering separation from his heavenly Father, suffering that rejection that many of us feel. And in Luke 23, verse 33, he says this. It says, when they had come to the place called the Skull, where they crucified him along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left, Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. It's an amazing statement. As Jesus was only looking for the approval of his Father, yeah, that's all he had eyes for, was the approval of his Father, and he's looking at his Father saying, Father, forgive them, because they don't know what they're doing. He wasn't going to take that on board, like so many of us do, and we hold the bitterness. That person rejected me. That person criticized me. That person said that nasty thing. And we hold that bitterness and it binds us to the rejection that we fear so much. That's why Paul said, don't let yourself be bound up. Don't let yourself. And the key to keeping that release is forgiving the people that have hurt you. And this is where I want to say, they might have been right. We're not always right. They actually might have been right. But it doesn't matter whether they were right or whether they were wrong. You forgive people in order to release yourself. That's what it's about. You forgive them in order to release yourself. The secondary effect is it releases them to deal with God. And God will deal with them one way or the other. If they repent genuinely and they ask for forgiveness, God will forgive them. If they don't, then God will judge them. He will judge them firstly because they reject him, and secondly, because of the evil they've done to people around them. God will judge. But your forgiveness of those people will release you from the bondage in your own heart. I want us to focus on this today. I really want us to get it. Because I know that people hold, we all hold bitterness. We hold on to it. We hold on to that anger that comes from rejection. And as much as we seek the pleasure of God, we need to learn to forgive and let go. And we're going to pray, secondly, today, to forgive people. And I want you to open your heart. And that person, because some of you who are holding it so strong, that person will come to your brain straight away. The picture, the image will be there immediately of that person you're holding bitterness against. And it's binding you up and stopping you up. It's time to get rid of it. People do all kinds of awful stuff to each other. Awful stuff. The only cure is forgiveness. To let it go and let God deal with it. Thank you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, I thank you for your presence here. I thank you right now that you're just coming across this room and you're touching hearts and lives and you're wanting to release people. I thank you, Lord, that we come to meet with you today. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your Spirit here with us. Lord, I pray that you really enable people today to forgive freely. That you would enable each one of us. We know it's a fruit of your Spirit and your work in our lives. We can't do this ourselves. You do it in our hearts, in our lives. And so, Lord, I'm asking today that you would enable people to release those that have hurt them, to genuinely and honestly forgive them and release that person and let you deal with it. Father God, we forgive them today. Whatever the hurt, whatever the pain, whatever has happened, Lord, we just, as an act of our will, we forgive them, we let it go, and we ask you, God, that you would deal with their life, that you would sort out whatever it is. Our greatest prayer is that they would come to a place of repentance and wholeness, and they recognize if they've been hurtful, that they would recognize it themselves and all of that. But Lord, we leave it to you, that you deal with that. And Father, we forgive. We let it go. We let it go today. Right now, we renounce any claim to judgment and punishment for that person. We just let it go today because we don't want to be bound up by it anymore. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. While we're praying, you know, Jesus died for you. He gave his life for you so that you could have a relationship with God. And maybe you've been far from God. Today is a good day to come back to God. Today is a good day to come to God for the first time. Ask for his forgiveness and give yourself to him. If that's in your heart, then you get yourself ready because we're going to pray together and give you that opportunity to get right with God. Let's pray together. Father God, I thank you for your love for me. I thank you that Jesus died for me. I ask you to forgive me for my sin. And I give my life to you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you prayed that prayer today, you know, the scripture tells us that we need to confess Jesus before others. It's not enough just to pray a private little prayer, but the Bible tells us that we need to actually speak to other people and to tell them that we've actually accepted Jesus, that we believe in him. And so I want to invite you to make a beginning on that today. And the person who invited you here, I want you to go to them straight after the service and to say to them, I want to get right with God today. In fact, I did. I prayed that prayer and I asked God to forgive me. And I want you to tell them that straight after the service, okay? Tell them that straight away. I want to be right with God. I'm doing that today. God bless you. Have a great day. Can I encourage you as we finish the service this morning, don't allow bitterness to rule your heart. Don't let rejection have its effect in you. Seek to please God and forgive everybody else. Amen? God bless you. Have a great day.